Back to the book of Romans. Now here's a question that people wrestle with, and can a person change? And I mean really change. You know, stop being one way and then start being another. I'm not talking about taking on a new philosophy or ideology or religious belief system. I'm talking about genuine, all-encompassing change from the inside out. And from insecure to secure, from lazy to industrious, from dishonest to honest, from perpetually angry to consistently peaceful, from pessimistic to optimistic, from selfish to generous. You know, can a person really change? And I tell you now that it can happen, and this evening I'll discuss some ways to create change, but I want you to realize that radical change doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen nearly as often as it should or nearly as often as it could. Most people are so trapped in their habits and behaviors that they begin each day chained to yesterday and doomed to repeat the same mistakes again and again. And it doesn't have to be this way, but it is, because change does not come easily. It takes three things, I think, to experience a lasting change, and most people aren't willing to invest in these three areas. Change takes time, change takes effort, and change takes strategy. You know, change takes time, but we would rather be changed in an instant. You know, we want everything to happen quickly. The coffee, runs through the coffee pot now, it doesn't run fast enough any longer. You know, I remember sitting around years ago and waiting for that coffee pot to perk and perk and perk and perk, and it took a while. Now we just run it through and we have coffee, but it's still not fast enough sometimes. The stuff we put in the microwave doesn't heat fast enough sometimes for us. The drive-through that gets, well, we get all upset if we're the third person back in the drive-through, you know, and somebody up in front of us has ordered a special sandwich and we can't get through there. We want everything quick. We want it now. We want it instantly. And so it is with most of us. We want to be different in some area of our lives, but we want to be different now, you know, not later. Most of us who are flabby want to get into shape. And most of us who are in debt want to get out of debt, even though it may have taken us several years to get there. And most of us who are impatient want to be patient, and we want it right now. Secondly, change takes effort. But too often we would rather that change be imposed on us. We don't want to have to make the tough choices required for change. We'd rather have those choices made for us. Change takes effort. It requires making decisions that we don't want to make. It requires saying no when we want to say yes, and in saying yes when we'd rather say no. People don't change because change takes effort. Let me ask you a question. You know, if there was an Apostle Paul pill or a Billy Graham pill or a Mother Teresa pill, and if by taking that pill you could become like that person, would you take it? If there was a Christian pill that had the ability to change you, that it would make it easy for you to be a kind, generous, thoughtful, and loving, courageous person, would you take it? I imagine that most of us would, because most of us really want to be good. But the reason we're not as good as we should be, or as good as we could be, is because change isn't as easy as taking a pill. It takes effort. Now the third thing here, also change takes a strategy. Someone gave me a diet book some time ago. And when people start giving you diet books, you know that it's time for a change. And I took the hint and I decided to give it a try. After 3 weeks, I had lost 1 pound. 3 weeks of denial and discipline, and I'd lost one lousy pound. It was very frustrating. About that time, I ran into a pastor friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a while, and he looked great. And he said, I've been on the Atkins diet, and I've lost about 25 pounds. And I asked him how long he had been on it, and he said, well, almost a month. I said, you're kidding. You know, I've been on a diet for almost a month, and I've lost 1 pound. My friend said, oh, I bet it wasn't the Atkins diet. Well, now I'm not endorsing the Atkins diet, but I am saying this. If you want to lose weight, you need to have an effective strategy. You need a game plan that works. There's nothing more frustrating than putting your time and effort into a strategy that yields you zero results. Change takes time, effort, and strategy, and because of this, change doesn't happen easily and it doesn't happen often. But the Christian life is all about change. It's all about transformation. God's plan is not to just save us from eternal punishment. His plan is to change us and transform us from the sinful creatures that we are into the image of His Son. He wants Christ to be formed in us. He wants us to be like Jesus. And it doesn't happen in an instant. It takes time. It isn't imposed on us. It requires effort on our part. And most of all, it takes an effective strategy. And that's what we'll talk about this evening. You know, one key component to the biblical strategy for change, the Apostle Paul mentions to us in Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul is saying, if you want to change, renew your mind, think new thoughts. And the first challenge is in not conforming to the pattern of the world, to stop thinking like the world thinks. And how does the world think? Well, for starters, it says that this world is all that there is, and that our material physical existence is all that we can expect. And it says that the world is a bad place and that it's getting worse. And it says that the hope of our future is dependent upon our economic prosperity and our political solutions. And the world says that the definition of right and wrong changes not only from age to age, but also from region to region. And what was wrong in one place and time could be right in another place and time. The world says that everything revolves around you, and that your job is to look out for your own interests above everyone else's. And I could go on and on. You know, our objective then is to learn to identify worldly thinking, to learn to make the distinction between how the world teaches us how to think and how God teaches us to think. And here's a test. If a line of thought leads to hopelessness and despair, it's not from God. If a lying thought leads to greater understanding of love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, power, holiness, majesty of God, then it's from Him. Paul says here, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is how you change. Now, you probably heard of the positive thinking that has been given by so many different people, but one of the early people who influenced many others later, of course, was Norman Vincent Peale. And he used to say, change your thoughts and you can change your world. And this is true, but it sounds easier than it actually is. If you change your thoughts, you can change your world and change your life and change yourself. But let me tell you something about changing your thoughts. It's not easy. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes strategy. So if you're overweight and out of shape and you want to become healthy, you know what you need to do. You need to exercise and eat right. Depending on what kind of shape you're in, it will probably take several months of consistent behavior to get your weight down and your blood sugar level and your heart rate where it should be and on and on. You know, and so if you want to maintain that degree of health, you will have to eat right and exercise for the rest of your life. It's the same way with your thoughts. If you want to experience true transformation, you must learn how to renew your mind according to the principles of God. And you must understand that this will take time and it will take effort, and this will take planning on your part, a strategy. And I've heard people say, I've tried that positive thinking nonsense and it didn't work. Now, I want to make this clear. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about renewing your mind through biblical thinking. I also want to make it clear that this is not something that you try for a couple days. It's not a magic trick that makes your problems go away. It's a process of experiencing total and complete transformation, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. And neither does it happen easily. It takes effort. And neither does it happen just by chance. It takes a strategy. The time you invest and the effort that you extend upon it then is the investment that you make. So let's spend the next few minutes talking about this strategy. If you want to experience change, you need to train yourself to think a new way. And when you catch yourself thinking in the old way, you need to make a conscious decision to think a new way. So this evening we're going to look at four areas that you might need to focus on. First, think spiritual thoughts, not material thoughts. Think spiritual thoughts, not material thoughts. There is a difference between moral and being spiritual. Of course, we want to be moral, but there's more to the Christian life than just obeying the rules. There is more to the Christian life than just living by the Ten Commandments. There's a world out there that cannot be seen, that exists beyond that which the human eye can see. It's a spiritual world, and the Christian life consists primarily of our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. Though the practical application of this relationship can be seen in our actions, the source of this relationship is spiritual. And I'm saying that you need to begin to see that your life is a spiritual event. You need to recognize the source for joy and peace and happiness and strength, and everything else that you need is found in a relationship with God. Not in success, not in money, not in marriage or recreation or anything else. Paul wrote this. He said, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." So life is a spiritual event. So we think this way. Secondly, think positive thoughts, not negative thoughts. Think positive thoughts, not negative thoughts. I said just a moment ago that this message isn't about positive thinking, it's about biblical thinking. Though not all positive thinking is biblical, all biblical thinking is positive. And why? Because when God is involved, the outcome is always good. Even if the process is painful, even if you have to endure a time of trial, the ultimate outcome is always good. If your thoughts are full of hopelessness and despair, then you're not thinking biblically. If you're always thinking about how bad the economy is and how desperate the world situation is and how doomed you are, you're not getting these ideas from the Bible. You need to read the rest of the story. Read the back of the book. You know, God wins. Paul wrote this. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." For those of you who dismiss positive thinking as nothing more than as fluff, pay close attention. We have a biblical command to think about good, uplifting, positive things. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, think about negative stuff. If anything is bad, corrupt, miserable, hopeless, and futile, think about it. It doesn't say that, because that kind of thinking will not improve your life. You have to make a conscious choice to think about good thoughts instead of thinking about what a wretched, rotten sinner you are. Think about the overwhelming abundance of God's grace that is available to you. Think about His forgiveness that will separate your sin as far as the east is from the west. Think about His promise to change you into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Instead of thinking about how miserable your job is or what a tyrant your boss is, make a conscious effort to think about the good things that you are accomplishing at work. Think about the benefits that your job offers you. Think about the blessings that God has given you in the opportunity. Now, the Bible never tells us to think about negative thoughts, but it does tell us specifically to think about positive things. When you make an effort to think, and remember, it takes effort, but God is pleased. Thirdly, think thoughts of hope, not thoughts of despair. Think thoughts of hope, not thoughts of despair. The Bible talks a lot about hope. Do you know that another word for hope is optimism? Hope and or optimism is the assurance that everything will be okay. Paul wrote this, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. This verse gives us permission to be permanently optimistic. It tells us that whatever happens, if you stay connected to God, then He will make everything work out for His glory and His good. All things, He says, all things work out for His good. The simple truth is that we don't understand why everything happens. And in many cases, we don't understand how some things could possibly work out for our good. It comes down to a matter of trust. Now, do you believe that God is in control? If He is in control, then you have every reason to be optimistic. Ultimately, He'll make things right. And so think hope, not despair. And fourthly, think about eternal things, not temporary things. Think about eternal things, not temporary things. We used to sing a hymn that says, "The kingdom is coming, oh, tell you the story. God's banner exalted shall be." And John records this in Revelation for us, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And he hath on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Think in terms of eternity, not in terms of the temporary. Changing the way we think isn't easy, because thinking isn't nearly as easy as it looks. It's hard work. Henry Ford said, "Thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probable reason why so few engage in it." Most of us allow our thoughts to be carried along by the whim of our emotions, or we let our circumstances dictate the way that we think. However, you want to experience lasting change, you've got to take the reins of your thought life. Instead of conforming your thoughts to the world around you, let the Word of God determine how you think. And when you're tempted to think materialistically, think spiritually. When you're tempted to think negatively, make the effort to think positive. When you're tempted to give in to thoughts of despair, take a bold step and think thoughts of hope. And when you're tempted to think only about this life, learn to think with an eternal perspective. James Allen said, "You are here today where your thoughts have brought you. You'll be tomorrow where your thoughts take you." If you want to experience change, you've got to change the way that you think. Be transformed, says the apostle, by the renewing of your mind.